What is up, everybody? Corey Vincent here with the Video Game Bang, brought to you by our sponsors, Oblivion Comics Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. Our other sponsor, Vast.gg, some good friends of ours, as well as Mainframe USA. Get them clothes. You gotta wear clothes. It's 2019. You gotta wear clothes. What is up, David Webb? How you been, man?
What's up, pizzas? You took mine, so I figured I'd take yours.
Did I?
Yeah.
I did it unintentionally. It was subliminal. That's sad, actually. That's like, you bummed me out because I didn't do it on purpose.
Because I was like, I was doing what I usually do, and I lip sync when you do your intro.
Oh, and you were thrown for a loop.
I was thrown. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta keep up, man.
Keep on my toes. Meta. Doing good, sir. Doing good.
You been streaming?
I haven't. I've been feeling really crappy this
Oh,
week.
My gosh.
First day I felt good, so maybe tomorrow?
Nothing makes you feel better than when you turn on that stream and you get the smiling faces of people like Pocket Asian, Drew in the TARDIS, Blood Ocean 07.
Well, I don't see
thank you guys hanging out with us. And Curtis, my other streaming compadre over here. You've been streaming a lot, too. You've been hitting the grind.
I've been grinding, man. Grinding on my 2K, grinding on my stream. I'm like, things are starting to turn around. I'm feeling better. When I got energy, I can actually do the streams.
Can you guys get on, like, the same page, like, with your health? Because, like, David's streaming all the time, Curtis is, and then Curtis comes back. Are you guys the same person?
We have the same birthday, so I figure eventually those two things will line up and we'll be streaming.
I was going to say, I mean, have you ever seen us in the same room? But we're literally in the same room.
You guys
right
are
now,
actually
so
in the same room right now.
Or are we?
Or are we?
The people watching the stream live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang.
Hey, that was silky smooth.
Thank you.
She joins us back on the show from a weekend bender, apparently.
Oh my gosh.
Emma Skies, how's it going?
I'm so tired.
That's right. I just saw the tweet. Somehow this ended up with me on the roof.
Yeah,
holy hell! That was
we
beer
were
pong.
Playing beer pong, and then I was on the roof, and I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Do you want to talk about who you were playing beer pong with?
It was my mother's 50th birthday.
You play beer pong with your mom on
on
her birthday,
yeah,
on her name day,
on her name day,
on her name day.
Wow!
Because we're like sitting around, and we'd already like done the stuff that we'd done earlier in the day, and she's just like, "What should we do?" And my sister's already like half drunk, and she's like, "Beer pong!" And then we fucking set up beer pong.
Was it just the three of you?
No, my sister's boyfriend too.
Okay,
so we're 2-on-2.
Some 2-on-2 beer pong with your mother. I envy that type of relationship. And what's crazy is like you. I've never seen pictures of your mom before. You look exactly like your family.
I saw the picture. I was like, that's your mom. That's her sister. 100% related.
The seed is strong in that family. As you can tell, Game of Thrones is coming up, and we are so fucking excited about it. So it's going to weasel its way into our conversations more and more. We're, in fact, going to start a secondary podcast on our Patreon, which I'm voting we call Bang of Thrones.
I knew you were going to
say
that.
Come on.
Like, you came up with that.
Come on. Who did? Was it you?
I can't remember. I thought it was Curtis.
It
was Curtis.
To be fair, it sounds like a Corey thing. But it could have been Curtis came up with it because
Curtis.
He knew Corey would go for it.
No, I remember it was Curtis because I said I'm really glad that it wasn't Corey that came up with it because he would have said Game of Bangs.
You're right.
I remember
that.
Yep. Yeah.
Just been hanging around Corey too much.
Yeah,
the Vincent of him is rubbing off on
me. Ooh, let's segue from that conversation.
I apologize to everybody. I hope that doesn't happen.
You're welcome, Video Game Bang.
No, I'm excited. We're rewatching. You've already finished your rewatch, Emma Skies.
I have.
So you are prepped and ready to go for this season. David and I are still in progress. I think I'm on track to
rewatch. Where are you? What season you're on?
Season 4.
Okay.
A solid
season
4.
But when did you start?
About 3 months ago.
let's see. When did season 7 end?
Yeah, it's been a good ride though. So check it out on our Patreon, patreon.com/videogamebang. More details on that one coming soon. But there's so much news to cover. This is not going to be like those people who bitch and complain. These little snowflakes on iTunes. Who? No, we got a few reviews in the past where they say. Video game podcast, pretty good, but they don't talk about video games until like 10 minutes in. Well, we're going to break the cycle.
That was like one review from like 2015. And it's still with him.
And it haunts me to this day. I think about it before I go to bed. We'll get to that. But first, let's start off with the news that everybody wants to talk about, and it is the big merger. Emma Skies, fill us in on the details.
So to placate everybody who says we don't talk about video games, we're going to talk about movies.
Hey, there's video games in this. Hey.
Is there?
I mean, is there?
I love that we specifically talked before the show about starting with the Fox Disney merger, and you still thought that was a good segue.
That was a great segue. It's an improvement.
Wait a minute. I got it. Disney, Kingdom Hearts. Video games.
Yeah, Disney, that's Fox. Where I was going. Boom. And Disney made those toys, right? Remember that game that was actually really fun? Where you had the little, Disney put the little...
Amiibos?
No.
Oh, the Disney better. One?
Yeah, the Disney version.
You say better, but it defunct way quicker than Amiibos did.
I mean...
Like, it died.
But Amiibos were like... Not really a game. These were a game, and then you could swap them. It was just like Skylanders, actually. It's more like Skylanders.
That's true.
It was kind of based off of it, I feel
yeah.
like.
It was Skylanders with the Disney skin.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's video games, but let's get to the important stuff.
So we started talking about it a year ago when it first was announced, I think over a year ago now,
yeah.
that Disney was going to buy out Fox, essentially, and we're like, this is fucking crazy. And as of last night at 12:02 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Disney now owns Fox for the most part.
Yeah, it's official. Yeah. Are we happy? Selfishly, the immediate is yes, because now we get unquestionable X-Men Avengers crossovers.
Questionable. I mean, we don't know for sure.
That's going to happen. It's 100% going to happen. But the other stuff is this kind of a monopoly, and that's kind of not good.
Yeah, so everybody's like, oh, superhero crossovers, and it's like, ooh, media consolidation.
Yeah, which one do we care about here?
Hang on, let's just, for the record, in the circle, it's everybody saying, oh, movie crossovers, and then Emma saying, wait, media consolidation. Let's be honest here, that's the situation that we're in.
That is true, I was the one that said that when we came in here.
Yeah, so what are you thinking this means? Like, what are some of the numbers getting thrown around here? How much
is
this going
on for? Disney purchased Fox for $71.3 billion.
With a B?
With a B.
That's nothing. That's why I spent on Starbucks a year.
So if we remember, their original offer had been something like $52 billion, and it was like, that's it. That's their done deal. And then Comcast swooped in, and they're like, we're going to offer you $65 billion. And then Disney said, fuck you. Here's another gazillion dollars, and here we are. Yeah. And that's the history of how this happened.
Well, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
So what other crossovers do you think we could see now?
Well, as far as crossovers, I think everybody's looking at the MCU because Fox owned the rights to X-Men, Deadpool, and Fantastic Four, all of whom are now a Disney thing.
That explains one of the funnier headlines I saw was now that Stan Lee has passed, they need somebody to carry the torch of being that Easter egg in each one.
Cameos.
And people wanted maybe Deadpool to replace Stan Lee.
That'd be cool.
I hated it when I first read it, but then as the more I started thinking about it and mulling it over, and if they did it creatively, that would be a nice little nod to Stan, I think.
Except Stan didn't create Deadpool, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but
Deadpool's fourth wall enough to like get the same idea.
He can get the reaction, which I'm cool with.
Yeah. Have him dressed like Stan. Like have like that jacket, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I believe, if I remember correctly, there's already been discussions that Kevin Feige is taking over the X-Men as far as, like, the creative direction that it's going to go within the MCU.
Okay.
I do believe that was discussed. So, it'll be interesting. It would be, because if we could go back and look at the things that would have been different, like Civil War would have been massively, it wouldn't have been the same movie.
No, it would have been completely different.
The comics, it's, you know, Fantastic Four are a huge part of it. The X-Men are a huge part of it.
Yep. Fantastic Four are like one of the headliners.
Yeah.
Like they're like the first family, quote unquote, of Marvel. And they are like leading. Were they split?
I think they were split.
Yeah.
They were split.
Two sides. Yeah.
Sue and Reed.
I think it creates more excitement because the more complex the cinematic universe goes, the less I want it to be a direct mirror of what's going on in the comic books anyways. Always gets a little more interesting when you see them make little twists and turns, and this is its own universe. We talked about it on a few episodes back, so let's make some changes. And they got so much more firepower left. Like they just came out saying officially that the MCU up till this point is going to be called Infinity Saga.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they just came out and said
the first three phases?
Three phases.
Yeah, we're in phase three right now.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of considering this the end, for a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, certain characters are going to keep going, but this is going to be a whole new phase. This thing's going to be done. And now that's a perfect time to introduce these new characters and justify why they were gone through one happening or whatever event happens to say, oh, now there's a Fantastic Four. Through this, the X-Men were born. Like, it's very much going to be in the same universe. And I saw a lot of people throwing around arcs they wanted to see. And, of course, Avengers X-Men was one of the next big ones that came out.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, like, that would be the next big thing. I don't see it that way. I see that as being, like, the first Avengers, let's say. Like,
X-Men?
The first time, like, all these new characters, like, the big join-up movies.
Okay.
But who do you think could be, like, a new big bad? Like, the level of Thanos.
That's the thing, is because you got to think about, we talked about this after we saw Captain Marvel, like, you got to think about, like, who's the next one? Because Thanos goes back all the way to, when did we first see him? It was before the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because I remember that shot of him.
I think it was Avengers. I think it was the end credits.
Was it the end of Avengers when Loki's talking to whoever it is that, you know, quote unquote hired him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's you know, they court death. And
yeah.
He turns around and he, you know,
so
smiles.
He's stretched back years and years and years. So who's the next person that's going to be, you know, teased for 10 years?
Right. Well, I mean, if they got Fantastic Four and Galactus. Mm-hmm.
I think Galactus again is like on an Ultron level. I don't know.
Is it mid-tier?
Yeah, I feel like he's mid-tier. Yeah. He's, like, all-powerful, but I don't know if he has enough, like, interest, like, in, like, his plan and his backstory to be cool other than he's just really powerful and he eats planets and he has a Silver Surfer.
Then they've introduced Skrull with Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Secret Invasion.
Do we see a Secret Invasion kind of
thing?
We
could see a Secret Invasion,
where throughout the throughout, like, the phases leading up to, like, the next phases... And, you know, Endgame, say, you see, like, more and more people, like, you find out that they're actually Skrulls the whole time. Kind of like in S.H.I.E.L.D., in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where you find out, like, oh, shit, he was Hydra the whole time. Like, he was Hydra the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, your Marvel comics, Captain America was Hydra the whole time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Never
forget.
That
was a rough couple of weeks.
Never
of
forget.
News.
I have those, like, the whole arc. And I want to read it now that I have it all out, because... I think it's just like a dream or something like that. It's something like Lost, where like you find out they were dead the whole time, like something stupid.
I agree with Eltero 13. I think Doctor Doom has much more of the credibility to
be
a villain.
I worry about rebooting the Fantastic Four for a third time and bringing in the same villain for a third
time. That's the thing.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't bring him in for the first one. Or maybe, you know, maybe they come up with something else for the first Fantastic Four, and then he's the end credit scene for the second one or third one even.
I say don't even introduce him in Fantastic Four. Like, I agree with you. Like, don't make him the first villain in the first Fantastic Four movie. Like, lightweight, like, only reference him, but do not make him the main villain. And then actually have him show up in someone else's movie. Like, I mean, he could easily show up in Doctor Strange, you know, if they go out of the country, you know, they travel, you know, somewhere else. Was it Latveria?
Yeah,
Latveria. That he's from?
Latvia.
36 Latvia. That's Kristaps Porzingis.
Another character who should get a major buff after all this. Oh, no. So where does Sony land in all this? Because I was going to say Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn has some crazy...
Yeah, no, Sony, as far as we know, is playing ball with Disney because that's how we got Homecoming and all that stuff. They're playing ball with Disney, but Disney doesn't own them.
Yeah.
See, because I want to see Norman Osborn get a big thing. Maybe
and he could.
A Dark Avengers storyline.
Yeah, like,
well,
that would be sick.
And then we got... Well, yeah. See, I don't know if Doom can hold a big bad. I don't think Doom is on the level of Thanos.
So here's the thing. If you go for that, it's a setup for failure because there's only a few people that are bigger than Thanos. Like, Galactus is technically more powerful than Thanos.
Right.
He's technically a celestial, not really. But anyway, he's more powerful than Thanos.
Yeah.
He's higher tier. But, truth be told, like, if you read if you do read the comics, Thanos, his storyline got built out more towards the movie, even though he was in Infinity Gauntlet, obviously.
Right.
The way that they got there was a total different thing. But I think it's fine to do that with Doom. That's why I don't want him to be introduced in Fantastic Four, because it kind of limits it to how big and bad can he be within the realm of Fantastic Four. Introduce him elsewhere, and you can have him, because it's not necessarily about how powerful he is, it's how big of a threat he can make. So even if he summons something that comes from space,
that's true.
I mean, Thanos wouldn't have been as powerful if he didn't get the Infinity.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of Doom in the sense of, like, we've seen him in two Fantastic Four movies already, and they beat him in two Fantastic Four movies. Mm-hmm. So even though this is, like, going to be, like, a reboot, you still have that in the back of your mind, like, okay, well, these characters already beat him twice, and now he's, like, I see him being in it, mm-hmm. definitely, and being a formidable force, mm-hmm. but I don't see him as being, like, the culmination of the next phase.
Emma, do you have a pick for, like, a big bad? Like, who could be a Thanos level?
I have no idea.
See,
I got nothing.
See, but you don't try to make it Thanos level, because if you try to make it Thanos level, you literally have to get someone as powerful, and then it starts going way outside of there. You have to think just, like, who can pose a big enough threat? Who can cause a big enough shitstorm to where it's going to take everybody?
Oh, right. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Not through raw power, but through, like, a really good conflict.
Right.
Or an association, of villains that get together.
Because, again, remember,
like, six villains that get together.
Yeah. Right, because Thanos, like, what was Thanos' whole thing? He snapped, right?
Yeah.
Well, if he would have never got the gauntlet, he wouldn't even...
Right, he would just be...
Yeah, he would have stopped at New York at Avengers 1 with the Chitauri. So you got to think, who is... crazy enough, maniacal enough to cause up a big shitstorm.
Doesn't necessarily have to be power, raw power. Mm-mm. That's good.
That's what I was thinking, like, the Skrull. Mm-hmm. The Skrull would be something that's a Skrull, you know, they've been beaten, but, like, they're invaded.
Right, and now your mind is playing tricks on you. Can I trust you? Are you the real David Webb?
Civil War 2.
That could be a good, cinematically good storyline.
Yeah.
But so anyway, this is, like, a whole other, like, we could do a whole episode on this.
We should. We should. Do, yeah, we gotta, should. It's Saturday shows.
So Disney, to get back to, like, kind of things, so Disney purchased Fox for $71.3 billion.
Jeez.
And Fox now has what's called the Fox Corporation. And that's that kind of where they exist now. So they own the Fox station, like that TV network still is theirs, even though the TV shows on it belong to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they have reassured people that those shows aren't suddenly moving over to ABC. So we'll see how that goes. The Fox News channel, the Fox News Corporation, is still with them. Disney's like, y'all can keep that. Fox Sports, they still own that. So Fox is at this point basically a sports and news thing.
Yeah.
So they own their own sports stuff because Disney could not take those because the Justice Department said no. Yeah. Because you have
ESPN.
You have ESPN. And the local affiliate. So, like, our Fox 40 news station still belongs to Fox. So all of those things are now what's called the Fox Corporation that's now owned or still owned by Rupert Murdoch. Everything else, Fox Searchlight Pictures and all of the Fox TV shows and all of
the
21st Century Fox, all of those, their movies and things belong to Disney now, which is insanity. And along with Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, so Disney now owns a controlling 60% of Hulu.
Yikes.
This is crazy. This is what I'm talking about, media consolidation. This is outrageous.
I can't say, like, it's honestly not a great thing, like, on a world scale. But
it's crazy. Like, we're going to get to a point where there's only a couple of these companies left and everything we consume is going to be made by the same people.
Well, here's a weird thing that I believe is that the consolidation always seems to happen on mediums that are kind of dying or on their way out or not, like, highly, like, valued. So it is a lot in this entertainment, but, like, I worked in radio for a while. And it is like the Wild West. Like, it's all basically run by iHeartRadio.
Right.
And they run everything uncontested. So a lot of the television side of it, I don't see that as a big issue. But it does come to, like, when we start getting into the tech and movie side of it, mm-hmm. where I think it's much more important. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it slipped through, like, because this had to be approved.
It did. Like, I honestly can't believe the Justice Department let this go through. The only thing they told Disney was you have to sell off these 22 regional sports stations. Like, you can't own these. You can own everything else.
Yeah.
But you can't have this. So, like, more power to them, I fucking guess, but damn.
Maybe without those sports stations and the local news stations and stuff like that, they're still under the limit. You know what I mean?
But there's not really a hard and fast limit.
Oh.
Antitrust laws are very weird.
Yeah.
There's no, it's
situational.
I wouldn't say it's subjective,
almost.
But it's situational. Yeah. It's up to whoever's deciding, you know, whatever
what kind of mood
the Justice Department decides.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Disney Plus, because they now own a shit ton of crap. It'll be interesting to see what gets moved over to Hulu, because Disney Plus has been said to be family friendly, so I imagine right. everything else that isn't will go to Hulu.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting the hit that Netflix takes, because they're gonna lose a sizable chunk of content, you have to imagine.
Yeah.
Anything that's 21st century or whatever.
I think Netflix will either, like, to go to this next level would either have to be acquired by someone bigger.
Disney.
But God, I think they're, no. I think they've been creating enough original content to keep themselves safe. Like they have so many original things, the Stranger Things of the world, and the like. They'll be fine, but they're definitely gonna have to stay in their lane.
Whatever they're paying for in licensing to these companies to license their content to put on the streaming, they're just gonna have to get like fiscally like snazzy, and
like they can't spend another $1 million on keeping Friends.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
And roll that over into, because right now they're creating, you know, the traditional type of content, you know, more in the vein of TV shows and whatnot and seasons and stuff, and then like movies and features and stuff. They might have to get a little more, I don't want to say risky, but maybe even a little more forward thinking and start getting other types of content, so where it's not just like, hey, I want to veg out and watch this. Like maybe getting some lower in people, like, hey, bring in some podcasts that are up and coming and different types of content to offer, because you want to start divert. I mean, they're right now, for the last 2 years, it was building a catalog, so they're not dependent yeah. on a Disney or a Fox or anything mm-hmm. else. And then now that they're starting to build a catalog, just, you know, they got to keep new shows coming in, but the old ones that people have been talking about, people are still gonna watch those ones, they'll get paid, but they got to start creating just something a little more diverse and going outside of it, because they already got the catalog now.
Netflix is already, like, imagine Blockbuster and how, you know, they're just kind of a meme now. They're just a joke yeah. because they didn't evolve with the times.
Right.
Netflix is doing a damn good job, because if they were Blockbuster, they wouldn't have even thought about starting their own production company and making all this original content.
Which is funny that you bring up Blockbuster, because Netflix is what killed Blockbuster.
Yeah, Netflix killed them. Yeah. They held the crown, and I think they still have it. Netflix it's still the Kleenex.
So I don't think they're in danger of like going away, but I do think they're going to take a hit from the amount of content that they're going to lose. Anything that Searchlight, 21st Century Fox, any of those TV shows, like, well, most of those are on Hulu anyway at this point.
But Netflix can pay the iron price, man. I'm sure Disney has a price that's like, Netflix, you can use our stuff. Like, I don't know how.
They sure as hell couldn't pay it for the Marvel shows.
See, but that's what I was saying. Like the iron price that they're paying to license the content, you start rolling that over into more budget friendly content creation. Like if it was $1 million to hold the rights for
Friends,
Finn,
spend it on season 4 of Stranger Things,
right? Because not every show it needs to be like Stranger Things, where it's scaled up, or a Game of Thrones where it's $1 million mm-hmm. an episode. You can make some more intimate content, really creative writers, people that just got out of college, so they're, you know, looking, you know, they can you don't have to pay them top dollar, but pay them respectfully and have them do something creative.
Yeah. So that Disney goes to you and buys them for a couple billion.
Because you want to put yourself in a position where the table could be turned. Yeah. If Disney can pay the iron price, have them want to license your stuff.
Yeah.
Pay the iron price. That's kill
you,
people.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Kill people?
That is you don't know because you've never seen it. Corey said it.
I meant it like, you know, pay whatever's necessary.
Right. Pay the gold price.
That's the exact opposite of the iron price. Yeah.
Copper price.
They said it on Game of Thrones and it sounded cool. What's the next topic?
That is a fundamental misunderstanding of the Iron Islands.
Because the whole
thing, a lot of the weapons were made out of.
Did you pay the gold price, or did you pay the iron price? The gold price being that, did you buy it, or did you kill somebody?
And they don't respect you if you bought it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Pay attention, man.
I'm sorry.
So the other big thing that we'll probably spend way too much time on, Google Stadia. Hate the name, but here we go.
Terrible name. Why that name?
It sounds like Stadia.
It actually is a reason for it. I forgot what it was. But yeah, so we talked last week that Google was going to announce their gaming service and that we would have more to talk about today, and they
did. Do we ever have stuff to talk about? Holy shit.
So Google Stadia is exactly what we thought it would be for the most part. It is a games streaming service. So it's like, I was trying to explain it to somebody, and I said it's like Xbox Games Pass if you didn't have to install anything.
And you didn't have to have an Xbox.
It's a stream, like you're streaming the game. It's like Netflix for games, I guess is the easier way to say that.
Yeah.
So you are the thing that they have it very, very, very connected to YouTube. So the thing that they say is you're watching a gaming video on YouTube of Assassin's Creed was how they demonstrated it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And a button comes up that says play now. And you click that button and within, quote, as little as 5 seconds, if you have the best internet in the fucking world,
and
you're already on the game, you can be playing that game.
So here's the one thing that I had assumed. So when you had told me that, I was blown away. Like, I was like, that sounds awesome. And then when you see it on their YouTube, it's only, what are we you look on YouTube, Stadia in 5 minutes, and it should be the first thing that pops up. And you can see all these highlights. When you actually see the guy looking at the YouTube video, and a pop-up comes up, you know, like we ignore all the time, but it just says play the game. No strings attached. Hell yeah, let's play it right now. So I thought it was going to be like a subscription service where you were just going to have access to all these games, but I guess that's not the case?
No. So you do have to buy the games. We were looking at another article that was talking about your games are not going to, like, it, the same way that if you bought a PlayStation, suddenly you're not going to own the same games that you had on your Xbox.
Yeah.
So your games aren't going to carry over. They do have cross-platform saves. So if you get a game that you have on another console or another platform, and you get it on, everybody in the chat keeps saying Sativa, so I want to call it Sativa. You guys got to stop putting that in there. It's all I'm seeing.
Stadia. It's a name we're going to have to get used to, not like the Ouya. The Ouya came and gone, but this one's going to be around.
Yeah, so if you buy it, or if you want to play it on your Stadia, you buy it on your Stadia, you can transfer over your game save and all of your shit from your other platform if the developer of said game allows you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of kills the 5 second. Go from watching to playing in 5 seconds because you're playing Assassin's Creed. You're like, actually, you know what? Let me give this a shot. You hit play, and then you go to the Google Play Store where you have to go and buy the game.
Or they could do an Amazon thing and where you have a one-click buy on Amazon. Now.
True. But then it's like, so the whole thing is you're not downloading a game, right?
Right.
So what do you own? If you're not downloading the game and you don't have like...
So this reminds me of...
You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. I know so exactly what when you mean. We went as a society, we kind of moved away from physical games into digital games. We all said the same thing. We're like, what do I own? I can't touch it. I can't hold it in my hands, but it's installed on my hard drive. I own that. And Now we're moving from, it's not installed on my hard drive. I don't have it. What do I own? It's the same thing. It's just going to be that like switch in the way we perceive it. I think that's going to have to take place.
But not really. Because even digital, it's like you have the file. You have the digital file on your hard drive. You don't even have the digital file on a hard drive. It's like saying, like, I want to watch Stranger Things season 3 on Netflix. I'm going to go ahead and buy the season. But, like, It's on Netflix.
So on the technical side, on the legal and technical side, it gets a little different. We don't, anything that anybody else owns, unless we literally buy the original, the master copy, or in software, we would say the golden master, unless we buy that for them, we don't own anything. We're licensing.
Yeah.
We bought a license to play that game. Right now, if we had physical and you bought a disc, you do own the disc.
But you don't own the game.
You don't own the content on the disc. Just like when we would buy CDs, we never owned prints.
You don't own the music, you don't own, which is the same thing when you talk about, you get into broadcasting rights and things like that, because you don't own that music.
Bingo.
Now here's the thing though, if I'm buying a license to play the game, I'm not paying for a file, I'm not paying for a disc, I better not be paying $60 for Assassin's Creed to play on the Stadia.
You will be.
Because here's the other thing. But, and these are all the questions that I have.
They're giving you the same thing.
Right. Exactly. And that's the trick of the legal part. We never owned anything. When we paid that 60, when you pay that $60 for, you can bring me any, you can grab any game in here.
I mean, that's true.
So that's why Emma said it's a paradigm shift, because we don't own. Now, here's the thing. Everybody paid $60 for that. Now, the people who own the platform, maybe they're willing to take whatever, a cut in what Sony or Xbox would have charged for a console, or what maybe our good friend Shadow would even give you for a service, like what they charge you for a service. Maybe they're willing to take a cut, but here's the thing. The developers ain't where Drake, the developers ain't looking to take a cut. They need their money. We see how they're all going out of business and, you know, layoffs and all that stuff.
Yeah. Unless you see something like Epic, where they're saying, come to our platform, and we'll give you a bigger cut. So then a lot of developers are saying, okay, well, then we'll make our game cheaper.
Yeah, like some of them were like knocking like $5 off, yeah, and things like that. At best, I think that might be something that we can see. But these are the questions that I had, and why I was like, when I finally heard about what it was before I watched the presentation, I was like, this is what we've been all waiting, yeah, for, right? Like, this is it. And then when I watched it, I was like, okay, developers ain't taking a cut. Okay, you say that we can use any controllers that we want, but this one has the Wi-Fi and seems like it's basically the hub. So how can I use my PlayStation wireless controller when I'm using my Chromecast?
Well, yeah, when you're using your controller, it's USB. You have to plug it. Because they did specify that you can use any USB controller that you own.
True. So that's interesting. So did they say that during the thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
the way it sounds to me is, mm-hmm, when you have the Google controller, the, mm-hmm, big sell for that is, mm-hmm, that the controller itself connects directly to, right, your game on the date. The exact, right, game. Not just your version of Assassin's Creed.
High level concept. High level technical concepts here. Like, yeah, for the listeners. So it's not a controller going into the TV as an interface into your game. It's connected to the game hardwired.
Yes, right, via Wi-Fi. So when you, and then I think the other way that works is when you're using your USB controller, mm-hmm, you're plugging your controller into your, say, Chromecast.
Right.
Or I don't know if that even fucking has, I don't know. I don't know.
That was my other thing, because I know there's versions that don't.
Or you're plugging it into your computer or whatever.
Right, right. Or you're using the Stadia service.
So you're plugging your controller into your computer, and then your computer is connecting to the data center.
So there's an extra step in between, in
which heightens the latency. Yeah.
That's why he said, when he talked about using any controller, USB controller you want, he said on, what did he say? He said desktop, laptop, like, he specified which devices you, mm-hmm, can use.
Right.
Chromecast was not one of them because there's no.
Right.
Oh, okay. They're also releasing, I think, a new one, right? Chromecast Ultra.
Sounds right.
Probably.
It's probably 4K
where they
got
to spend extra money to put USBs in it. How, yeah, long of a USB cable are we all gonna have?
Jeez.
Yeah. So the claim here is that you at launch will be able to stream 4K 60 FPS.
Right.
On what kind of internet connection?
Exactly, on what kind Emma's of internet?
Not Emma's
internet. Hey, Emma's new internet, remember?
You were still having issues.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which leads me into my other thing. There's still technical issues. Like, I mean, you know, on the ISP side, of course, but that's the other thing. Cook, 4K, 60 FPS, 60 frames per second. And there was another mode when they were talking about, in the future, I guess, 8K.
8K is what they're going to get to.
Oh, so what is YouTube notorious for? Like, when you're watching
buffering.
And you're bent,
yeah.
So you'll get, so you can be watching a 1080 video, but if your ISP up at the time
chugging,
dude. Yeah. So you go down to 1080, and if that's chugging, what do? You go down to 480. Yeah.
So we actually looked at an article, and I am a terrible person, and I didn't write down who this was from. Actually, I have it open because I don't want to just like be like. Tell you all that has. So this is by Lucas Matney from TechCrunch, I think. And so he put out an article. He basically said, you know, I got to sit down with Google Stadia with the Google controller, and, mm-hmm, this is what latency feels like on it.
Okay.
So he talks about, you know, he went in and he starts, you know, he loads up Doom, the 2016 Doom game, and it starts off real bad, like buffering pretty bad. It's stuttering like a PowerPoint presentation. It's going back and forth between like crisp 4K and like indecipherable blurriness, and like the employees around him are kind of getting nervous, and one of them grabs the controller and resets the system.
Yeah.
And he says once they reset the system, everything was great, but what that kind of shows you is that like a lot of things that are cloud-based, like, it's unpredictable.
Totally.
But he says once they reset the system, he was playing in 4K totally smoothly, and they were stress testing on hotel Wi-Fi. He didn't go down to Google's headquarters.
God.
Okay. So he's on hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Not much. That's a testament. Hotel Wi-Fi is notoriously horrible.
It's the worst.
So that kind of gave me a little bit of hope that there could be something there. I guess it's just going to. It's going to be one of those things you just have to see.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. As I like the idea, but it kind of feels like they're moving slightly backwards. Like, you already have Game Pass. Well, I mean, in Game Pass, you have to download the game, but, like, you pay a subscription service, and you have access to these games. So why not take that same thing and just take out the hardware aspect? And then that would seem more successful and more universal to me. I need to see how they're going to handle the games before I get too excited.
How you're
going to
own it?
How I'm going to own it? How am I going to pay for it? If it's a subscription service, then I'm all in. Like, that sounds dope. I'd totally buy this. But if I have to pay per game, like, that takes away some of the features. Like, the big thing is, see on YouTube, play it in 5 seconds. Well, you're not really 5 seconds unless you're, you know, one click to buy.
I think the other part, too, so there were some other neat, nifty little features that they talked about. One was really cool where he was playing some sort of spaceship game, and you know, he paused it, basically, took a digital capture of it and created a Google link and put it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Discord.
Discord.
Yeah.
And then someone clicked on it and was able to resume that other person's game right from where they left off. So, like, Emma brought up a good thing in the pre-show. Like, you know, if you did something really awesome or trying to set a record or you can't beat a part or whatever, like, you can just share this actual moment with your friend. They click into it, load up the game in their browser, and then, you know, it's just another way to engage with people. It's really cool.
I do like that idea. That's the thing. To me, they have a bunch of good ideas. What are people limited on when it comes to being able to enjoy their favorite games? The cost of it, and possibly bad internet. Okay, cool. Let's take the hardware out of it. We'll take care of the hardware. Let's take the downloading out of it. You just have to have a decent internet connection speed. We'll take care of the rest. Like, and they have Google Fiber. So, you know, I can see that they're trying to align themselves to give it the best experience. I think I want to see what happens. I think it has potential to be good, but I think this might be a good idea that either they make better maybe a year or two down the line, or someone else might come see, you know, where to make the tweak and then drive it home.
So which, I was talking with people about this like on Facebook, and somebody was talking about, like, you know, this is bullshit because if you don't have good internet, then you can't do anything with it. And I'm like, yeah, that sucks. But, like, a lot of things, it's just not for everybody.
It doesn't
have to be for everybody in the beginning. Like, you know what? Maybe at this point, yeah, it's a luxury item that you can have if you have high-speed internet and you have good internet.
Yeah.
But you get those early adopters. You get all those people that buy into it. You get all the people that spend their money on that. And then Google can take that and invest in infrastructure, invest in making the program better, invest in making everything about it work and be more viable for everybody.
The Tesla method.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I mean, it's the everything method. Honestly, like, when you're doing something that's a first, you have to
make it premium. Airplanes. They did the same thing.
Yeah, and then later, and that's what I mean by. But also look at airplanes. It wasn't necessarily the first company that drove it home and was the most successful.
Oh yeah,
they were just the progeny, I guess. I mean, well, the progeny come along later, and they're the ones that drive it home. So either way, I hope again, I'll say the same thing that I said before we even knew what it was. I hope that they stick with it and they drive it home, because one thing about Google is they only need to see that there's interest. They're not hurting for money.
Right.
They can build all this stuff out. They just need to see two things. Are people interested? Cool. If so, how are they using it? Cool. Let's drive down that
lane. And to be honest, they're probably, like, on the grand scheme of Google, the gaming part of this is probably one of the smallest.
This
is more just infrastructure to see how they could apply it to defeating Amazon, you know, down the road.
How can
this apply to other things in forms of content that are more broad, and we'll just try it out on the gamers. Like, because when you look at Google, they don't have a great track record with gaming. With the Ouya was a joke. YouTube gaming is kind of a joke, like their streaming platform. There's nothing good about it. Their YouTube is taking a huge hit, to their reputation, to everything.
And I think
everything.
It's important within this conversation of, like, the gaming platform to remember and realize that this is a huge push for YouTube.
Yeah.
Everything they talked about connected back to YouTube, connected back to streaming, connected back to, like, everything about this connects back to YouTube. Because they talked about the share button that we talked about.
Yeah, they dedicated a whole button on the controller to basically YouTube gaming, because I doubt they're going to let you export that to Twitch.
Right, so you can press a button and you can save clips. You can export to YouTube. Yeah. You can create links so that anybody that's watching you on YouTube can hop into your personal lobby and play the game with you in a way that no other streaming platform can do right now, as far as I'm aware. At least for most games.
Which is, like, the next level for content creators, right? Like, the ones that had, like, a link to that game in their game store. So they can, like, now it's like, hey, everybody, I just got this far in the game. Super dope. Like, go to the link, pick up where my left off, and then they make money off. So I do like
that's
that
in
aspect.
Twitch. Yeah. Twitch already has that.
Right, wait, but for buying the game, right, they don't have it where you can pick up where the other person, like, if I'm watching,
Ninja
Play or whatever, some other game that's not a, you know, a battle royale. Yeah, can I pick up where he left off?
Yeah.
That's some big incentive.
The other thing that they put on the controller that Webb almost lost his mind over was the Google Assistant.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So there's a button in the controller that connects to the Google Assistant. So, you know, you press the button, it says, how can I help you? And you say, you know, they show that somebody's playing Tomb Raider and they're like, how do I get through this tomb? And they're like, give me a second. And it basically, what it says is essentially it runs a Google search for you and it finds tutorials, it finds YouTube videos, and it scrubs to the estimated point. Like, you don't need to watch this whole video. This is where you are in the game. This is the point in the video where you need to be. So cool. And it just right on there, which, you know, is the same thing that most of us do now. You know, you put down your controller and you pick up your phone and you look at it. So it's just taking out that extra step.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And putting it in there, which is very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I don't think we mentioned they're actually talking first party games as well. So okay. Stadia Games and Entertainment, I believe.
That's what I'm most nervous about, this whole thing. Their first-party
games. So yeah. We talked last week that they brought on that that woman who was an EP at EA.
Right. That's true.
Ubisoft. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's the head of that. She's okay. The head of Stadia Games and Entertainment.
It makes me less nervous.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see what they do. But they are going for first-party games.
I hope they make it. First-party games are not like that's not their focus. Let's make the service the focus, and they also offer this.
Totally, because that one of the ideas that I had, you know, the concept of getting opening that present up on Christmas, and then once you open it up, you get out the remote control car or whatever it is, and there's no batteries. You can't find a AA battery. Stunts the experience. So to have the platform and to at least have like. Maybe three starter games, maybe.
But like solid AAA.
They have to be.
Well, they demonstrated with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and they did say that they're going to have Doom Eternal at launch.
Okay.
Yeah. So
So that Doom Eternal, will you have to purchase it, or will it be part of the service? I'm talking about something that just.
Oh, I see.
Because people, you know, people are, and everybody got different budgets.
Well, hey, I mean, when you buy an Xbox, unless you're buying a bundle, the Xbox doesn't come with starter games for you.
Right. It doesn't.
And that's not good either.
And
at this point, you're not paying for the Xbox. It sounds like Stadia is going to be the thing you can access in the games you'll have to pay for. I'm not quite sure. Like,
should be reversed.
I don't understand.
Yeah, because see, that's the thing. It's a platform. So if it's like, okay, cool, I logged in. All right, now I got to buy my first game to get started. So what am I waiting for a game that I like to come out on the platform? Like, if I just buy it, like, there's not a dope game that, like, is pretty cool that, like, some of my friends are playing that I can just hop right. It comes with the service. I can just play it.
And do you have to pay for the service? That's the thing. Do you pay for the service and pay for the game? Or is
right.
it, you know what I mean?
So this is kind of one of those things where the announcement left us with a lot more questions than it did answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did say that they'll have a lot more information coming in the summer. So I don't know if that means they're going to be at E3. I don't know if they're just going to have their own presentation at some point.
The last month of summer.
They said that they're launching in 2019. So I don't know if that means they're launching in the fall. I don't know if that means December 31st.
They told us so much and nothing at all at the same time. You bastards, Google. I think Amazon is going to be sitting there watching these guys like a hawk with their pen and paper. Ready. I think Bezos has his fingers on the trigger and he's ready to go because that would be the perfect way to do it. They already have Twitch, which is the biggest, like, at the end of the day, this is going to try and appeal to gamers. And all the gamers that matter right now are on Twitch.
They're
the influencers, the people who are really into it. You got the casuals who might pick up this, but they already got their Xbox and PlayStations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not really too much into PC gaming anyhow.
Right.
And they're not going to pick up this goofy looking controller, you know, and not be able to play with the rest of their friends. So I think when it comes down to it, their big issue is going to be reaching the core audience of gamers that are going to be the mega influencers. Because as we just saw with Apex, it takes a lot more than buying ad space these days to make a movement. You need to get it in the hands of Ninja and Courage and Summit to make it make sense to people.
Right.
So we can move on a little bit. We got to do a sponsored piece, but I have one more small little story because I know – the panel loves Apex, and this is really cool. We don't get the opportunity to talk about positivity too much, and I guess there was some a crisis in the actual country of Mozambique
and a lot of countries around it.
Yeah,
it's not just Mozambique.
There was flooding and tornado, right?
Yeah,
it's bad.
It's basically a horrible natural disaster.
Yeah, and of the affected countries was Mozambique, and we know that is also the name of the worst weapon in video games. like ever. I don't know if you, there's a worse weapon than Mozambique. It's a meme. It's a joke. But the gaming community activated around this coincidence in names and is actually making an impact in like mass donations. The whole community, the Reddit community all came together, the streamers, and they're doing like these fun things too, like challenges for every kill with the Mozambique. They'll, you know, they'll encourage people to donate money. And it's pretty cool.
That is cool. Good on them.
I think it says a lot about just the culture around Apex Legends setting a good tone for the beginning. Because like, even though Overwatch is kind of toxic, the community is a great community, very accepting when you compare it to games like Call of Duty or something like
League.
Especially League.
Halo.
Yeah. So I'm proud of you, Apex and Apex community. What do you think, Emma?
I mean, anything that gets people to pay attention is great.
Yeah. But
that's
like
pretty much where I leave that. Like, if it gets you, if that's what it takes to get you to pay attention to what's going on, that's what gets you, what it takes to get you to contribute whatever you can. Like, that's, I'm not going to say nothing about that. That's great.
Yeah.
The game has been really crushing it in that department, just all around. When it first came out, incorporating the ping system with that true meaning, like, when I first was using the ping system, I didn't even think about the real implications that it has on the culture of the game and being able to appeal to a wider audience who doesn't want to talk. But they crushed it. I actually, when I did my talk at Berkeley, one of the people I met, she works for EA, and that's like one of her, that's her big research project is toxicity in the gaming community.
Ooh.
And she worked very closely with the Apex team.
Okay.
And like completely opened my eyes to what they got going. And it's part of a bigger thing that they've got going over at EA specifically.
I mean, for EA to be a part of something like that, that's awesome.
They need some positive PR.
They should broadcast that more.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah, blow that whistle.
I think they will.
But yeah, like Emma said, I mean, anything, it's a game. It brings us, you know, it's something to take our minds off of what we did all, you know, or give us time and an excuse to play with our friends and our cousins. But if it turns into people's lives being changed for the better, when it, that's not even what it started out as, in a whole nother country that deals with terrible disasters pretty much yearly, ongoing, on another continent, that is, that's fantastic. Yeah,
and I bet the, like, I could just think of it from the perspective of the developer. That's got to be the best feeling in the world. Like, most people put out a shitty or unbalanced weapon in the game and they get roasted for it. It's the worst thing. But although we meme about the Mozambique, we all love the Mozambique. Like, it's so bad, and it's fun because it's so bad. And now it's spun off to be doing this great charitable work? Are you kidding me? Like,
sure,
I would just feel so much pride.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, that's why they didn't take it out of the game. They're like, no, we're not going to take it out.
And they might nerf it. Like, if I was them, I'd make it even worse.
Like, shoot, like, nerf darts?
Yeah.
Literally nerf it.
It damages you, like, when you shoot it? Like,
if y'all don't partner with Nerf and get that going.
Oh my gosh! A Nerf Mozambique!
They already exist. It's already every Nerf.
Doesn't Nerf partner with Fortnite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw that. No, screw it. Dump Fortnite, go Apex.
Please go to Apex.
Good lord. So the only other piece of gaming news I think that we had, I was slacking on notes today. I've been in the middle of Con Crunch and I want to die. I feel like this at some point, this is going to be kind of its own segment. UK Games Charts.
Oh yeah, this is because big, this is a trend.
We need a theme song for this segment.
No, we don't. So we're talking about Division 2, but the reason why we always talk about the UK physical games chart is that I think the UK is the only country anymore that consistently reports its sales for games.
Okay. All the other countries stopped doing that like years ago, and UK is like, well, we never were told not to. So
that's what the UK does. They're all about the charts, man. That's spun the rock and roll.
The
thing.
Division yeah, 2. True. This is a roller coaster of emotions. The Division 2 topped the charts. It knocked Devil May Cry 5 off. It is number one with 20% of the sales that Division 1 had.
Whoa. Wait, 20% of the sales of Division 1?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think, why?
That is a hefty, hefty fall.
Was the game that bad? I thought everyone loved it.
So The reviews for Division 2 are actually very good. Well, they're pretty good. Like, it's got like an 80 on Metacritic. You know, it's getting good reviews, but it, like, just nobody cared about this game.
So Division 1, when Division 1 came out, first came out, everybody
there was nothing to do.
Well, no, I mean, it was fun. It was a fun game. The idea of it was really cool. going in and going throughout the city in a semi-open world kind of situation, and having all these different encounters, playing the game kind of how you wanted to. But when it started taking a hit was the end game. There wasn't a lot to do in the end game, and then they started doing updates, which people got really irritated. Like, you could basically just troll people, and you can get all this different armor and extra health, all these different perks, to where you're just a bullet sponge and PvP, and just people just got pissed.
Yeah.
And so Division 2 took all the good stuff from Division 1 and kept it, and then fixed the things that they messed up. Kind of what like Destiny tried to do.
So, yeah, I've heard that Division 2 improves on all those things.
It's back to a shooter-looter. That Division 1 in the beginning was. But so many people got pissed off at Division 1 in the end game and in the end cycle of the game that they're just like, I'm not going to, why am I going
to
pick this
Nobody
up?
Nobody wants to defend the White House.
That and like,
is Trump responsible for
Hey, that's actually a good point.
That would actually be a good sociological study.
That's terrible.
I'm going to be honest. When I saw the trailer for it, I was like, damn, this trailer is awesome. And then when it's talk about defending the White House division, you are our only hope. Yeah. I was like,
you know what nobody's ever said about games like that, though? Hmm. That it's too political. Nobody ever says that.
Emma's the only one that would go there. Here's my thing, though. Here's what would, like...
I'm just saying.
What would make me buy the game is if they took the mechanics from Wildlands, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and put that into the Division 2. So kind of merge the two together, have, you know, the play mechanics of the Division, but the open world idea of Wildlands, where you can take a mission and there's 50 different ways to do the mission. Like, I played Wildlands, like, last week, and there's a mission where you're supposed to fight your way up this hill and, like, interrogate somebody and then try and get out. And we just took a helicopter around back at night, dropped one person off. They did the interrogating. They got back in the chopper. We took off. We didn't fight one person.
Mm.
And, like, you can do in so many different ways. And that'd be cool if you could do that in the Division. And you have all these... But the Division 1, at least, it was semi-open world, but there was still a track. You could only, there were invisible walls that you hit.
Yeah, right.
So.
Well, hopefully the word of mouth will spread and it'll pop up a little bit.
Was Anthem on that list?
Anthem's gone way down. I don't fucking know. It's not even, you know what? It's so far down the list at this point, it's not even on this article.
Damn. I'm really interested to see how they calculate or if they calculate the, like how they're going to monetize the battle passes that just came out on
Apex.
Yeah, Apex just launched like 2 days ago or yesterday, maybe. It was the 19th, their first battle pass. And they had two options. One is like the... What do you even get with the first one? Just the skins?
You get skins. You get a slight XP boost. So you gain levels faster.
Faster.
I hate that.
Yeah.
You get cosmetic. It's all cosmetic. You get more skins for the characters, weapon skins, some other stuff. It's all cosmetic stuff. And then, but in the more expensive one, you get more, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you actually get to just skip 25 levels.
I hate that.
And they add a bunch more stuff.
I don't like that at all.
Why not?
I don't like just skipping. Cosmetic. Well, the cosmetics is fine. I don't like the levels.
Oh, you don't like them?
I don't like that I can pay money to increase my level. I don't. Like, because I know that it's not comp, so it doesn't really matter in that sense. But it's just like, when there is no comp, that's the only marker.
Where that's like
that's
even
true.
Semi-okay.
I see that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's true. Because I was going to say, I mean, your level doesn't matter, but it's a status.
Because, I mean, there is the kills. Like, you can display your kills, and that's one thing. But, like, you know, it's different between characters. And, you know, I've played for X amount of time, so I'm this level. And it's like, well, I paid for this amount of time, but then I also spent money, and now I'm X level plus the money I spent. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. I think where they get away with it is like it's worked on Fortnite, and they said like that this is experimental. Like, so hopefully they'll make adjustments towards the second one based off the feedback. So I think it is a crucial time to like if you have feedback on the system, like let them know. This is a developer that has been proving to listen to its community.
Yeah.
So
did you guys buy the Battle Pass?
I did. I bought it immediately.
I did not, but I'm going to. But I'm going to buy the 950 one. And the reason, normally I wouldn't, but like I said this in our group chat, I like the game so much, and I think they did such a good job at it. I'm not buying it because I want the battle pass. I'm like, you know what? I'll throw $10 at the game because, like, it's a good game.
Yeah, you're supporting it.
I'm supporting the game.
I felt very good, yeah, to give them my money. I feel like I've been cheating them this whole time that I've been playing it. Like, it's just been so much fun. I really enjoy this game. So it's good. It's good. Also, a new character came out on Overwatch, too, if you guys...
Baptiste.
You guys still care about Overwatch?
Oh, yeah, there's that game, too. Well, we didn't talk about
the new character on Apex.
In Apex.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Octane. Oh, yeah,
Octane. I know Corey's played it. Have you played him yet, Emma?
No, because I didn't buy 25 levels to unlock him.
No, he's free.
He's free.
Yeah.
No, he's... When I go to unlock him, it wants points.
Oh, no, the same points that they require for Caustic. So,
yeah.
Like,
I need, like, 25 levels before I can unlock him.
See, I never bought Caustic. Yep. I knew he was coming, so I was like, fuck Caustic, he's Garbo. And, because I wouldn't have been able to afford him otherwise.
How do you like him?
He's super fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's by far my favorite, like, purchased character.
His jump pad is lame.
I thought
it was going to be way different. I thought it was going to be like a fucking, like one of the balloons.
Yeah, oh, that's no what I thought way. Too.
That'd be so OD, especially how quickly he generates it.
In Fortnite, they have the jump pads that you can get, and it basically acts like you're jumping out of the bus.
That's true.
But like his jump pad jumps you like 5 feet. I'm like, what's the point of this? I can get over a wall slightly faster.
His whole thing is mobility, and that's super handy.
That's like, actually, because getting you high ground, the time to climb...
No, it boosts you higher than Emma's. Like, you can definitely get to places that you cannot get to
without it.
Unless you're a Pathfinder with a grapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're Pathfinder. And then only his ult will get the whole team up there. Yeah. While this guy can get your whole team and the enemy.
Which, speaking of Pathfinder, in the new update, I heard that you can now grapple onto existing zip lines.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool.
What, I like that. What's his ult?
Octane?
The jump pad.
Yeah.
It's the jump pad.
Oh.
But he generates it so fast. You just have it like every couple minutes.
Like kind of like Pathfinder zipline.
Yeah.
It's the same basic idea.
And but his other ability is really, really handy. Like
The quick run.
Yeah. He takes like a small, very small, insignificant amount of damage, and then he runs super fast for a couple seconds.
My work chat today was just like all full of just Apex stuff. Every once in a while, somebody would come in with like an actual IT issue that was going on. The rest of the time, it was all just Apex and Octane. And one of the guys was talking about Octane being a pain early game because of that. Because he's small and he's fast, he can get to weapon crates a lot faster than somebody else and can have a slight advantage.
So you land in airbase with two other teams, and you hit that run.
Yep. Yes.
You get all the weapons, then you turn around and you kill everybody behind you.
Yes.
If you're not popping that move as soon as you land with him, you're not playing him right. Because he is ridiculous in the early game. And like David said, he has the small hitbox like Wraith.
Yeah.
So he's kind of hard to hit. So he's awesome. And then once you get your first pad bounce over the guy, turn like shotgun shot, you're hooked.
You're hooked, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. What else we got? That's it. I think we got to get to our... We're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a spanking... I was going to say spanking show, but it didn't really make sense.
I'm uncomfortable.
This has been a...
Oh, I replayed that in my mind. That's bad.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Okay.
Anyway, Curtis, what do you got for us?
Curtis, Comic Book Corner, hey. Oblivion Comics and Coffee. What do we got?
Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. Thank you again to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Got two comics this week to go over. We'll go through them quickly. We have Guardians of the Galaxy number 3, written by Donnie Cates, and actually, pass it around.
See that.
Everybody, take a look at it. They're not digital, they're physical. Go into your comic book store, go into Oblivion Comics and Coffee, grab a physical comic book.
And a physical coffee.
And a physical coffee.
I like digital coffee, but there's something about the physical coffee. I just feel like it works so much
better. It burns your tongue a little different than the digital coffee does.
It really does.
These are not the Guardians of the Galaxy that I remember.
These are not the Guardians of the Galaxy that anybody who watched the movies will really remember. There are a few people in there that... that get referenced. You will know, of course, Gamora, but there's some new characters that got introduced recently. Donnie Cates has been on a tear writing. He's writing Venom right now. He wrote a really nice Doctor Strange, actually a few Doctor Strange series last year and the year before. So to me, he's kind of like he's not the new kid on the block, but he's the kid that's bubbling up and is gonna like raise his name right up there with everybody else. What's the mark of a comic book writer? You do good, they give you titles, and then they give you an event, right? So yeah. He's due for an event here soon. That's how big he's getting. But the writing is solid. I really liked what he did with by the way, Geoff Shaw is the artist. Want to big him up. His pencils are really nice. Again, good coloring, a nice book. I really appreciated the shading, if we're talking about like the artistic side of things and a lot of the shadows and such that they used inside of it. They do a really good job of how they present space and making the comic book scale. You get a lot of characters that past characters that you've only seen. Hickman is coming. Oh, we'll talk about that. Please leave that dog-eared. Hickman's coming, but so they do that really well. The story is a continuation of Infinity Wars, which was the last big event that was going on. They put it out to coincide with Infinity Wars when it hit the theaters. So this is the aftermath. If you do like Guardians of the Galaxy, you like multiple different characters kind of being hodgepodge together, almost kind of the outcast, then you'll still enjoy this. There's a big emphasis on Thanos in it. Ooh. So for people who are loving Thanos,
he's so hot right now.
And anybody who heard about the Eternals movie that's coming out through Marvel, whenever it comes out, because we don't know yet, Eros, Thanos' brother, is in there. And I will say he's in the very start of the comic because it picks up where it left off. And Eros is a very interesting character. So even if you're not familiar with Eros, definitely another place to like really kind of dive in and learn about him, because they show Donnie. It doesn't show his origin, but Donnie Cates, the way that he writes characters is so accurate and true to who they are. You get a quick sense of who Eros is, and he's a nice coin flip away from Thanos.
So what's is the tone of this like the movies? Is it fun and bubbly, or is this like serious and dark, or what are we looking at here?
The tone of this one is closer to the movies.
Good,
and that's why I think. It's a definite buy for anybody who's interested in Guardians of the Galaxy. You want to take a ride and see how much farther the cosmic universe goes. Donnie Cates, strap in. Put your seatbelt on.
All right.
We'll take you for a nice little ride. My favorite of the two, I'm more of an indie guy. I'm a little older. I like stories that are a little more adult. I'm a fan of noir.
Okay.
And Ed Brubaker, Criminal, number 3. Ed Brubaker. Anybody who saw Captain America: Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
if you want to thank the man who brought Bucky back from the dead and
it's
gave
the
us the Winter Soldier, Ed Brubaker is that guy.
And this is the guy writing it.
This is the guy writing it. Sean Phillips, he always works with. And it's meta. The story is about a guy who's a comic book writer to an assistant. This is a self-contained story. It's number 3, but you can totally jump in on it. And the guy has to take him to an event that he's supposed to go to, but there's some art when he was much younger that's missing, and the guy wants the art. And this book is all about just crimes. So the people in it, like, not all of them are necessarily criminals, but through one way or another, they get involved in very serious crimes. But the crime is the vehicle. The crime is not the point.
Oh.
You get a very, very awesomely written and interesting story. It takes you all the way through. Valleys and peaks, dynamics are good. And then in the middle, you find out it's not what you think it is. And then at the very end, the crime happened for a whole other reason than everybody thought. And it is so satisfying. So
all this in one book.
Oh my God, you have no idea. Like, when we're done, I'll hang out here just so you can read a little bit of that. Like, it's
The art's beautiful too.
The art is solid. But I, like, you guys, I hope all of us here just at least read half a page of this at some point in time. It's incredible. Fatale that Ed Brubaker did, he did Criminal before. This isn't rebooting it, but a lot of the characters from the Criminal a few years ago get brought over into this, and he's weaving the stories in and out. Fantastic. This guy wrote an episode for Westworld. So everybody remember how much people were loving Westworld and its noir feel and cerebral thriller? Ed Brubaker wrote an episode, and he shows you why he is that damn good in this book.
This guy is the man.
Buy it. I don't care. Buy it. Go down to Oblivion Comics and Coffee on K Street in downtown Sacramento right now and buy Criminal.
I'm down. And Walking Dead is Image Comics too, right?
Walking Dead is Image Comics.
So is AMC about to buy this up? Is it that caliber?
I mean, they could buy any of his. But if they buy this one, they better get it while they can. Say it like that.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast this week. We are in a monumental season of change in the gaming industry. So it looks like these news stories are going to get a little more big. Like, we're going to have some stuff to watch with the Stadia in the next few months. And be sure that you subscribe to the show so that you can experience this new frontier of video games with us on iTunes. You can do it on Spotify, Stitcher. Audio Boom has been popping lately. Thank you to the Audio Boom listeners. And what's most important is, if you enjoy the show, give it that 5-star rating. Please, please, just if you hear me say it every week and you haven't done it, this is your week. This is the time to give us that 5-star rating so more people could find the show. A bunch of new people in chat, too. Thank you guys so much for the positive comments. If you do listen to the show and you want to hang out with us live, you can do it on Wednesdays and Saturday nights on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Emma Skies, I know you're in Con Crunch, so we're not going to have much of an after show. Is your streaming schedule still going on, or are you all out of it?
I haven't streamed in like a week because I was, you know, out with family, and then I'm back in a Con Crunch, and it's like I want to, but I work so much faster off stream.
Yeah.
So maybe stream.
And if you do, is it going to be the cosplay or any game?
Probably. Okay. It would be nice to be able to do game streams again, but my setup is like, I have a very small space. So my setup is where I usually stream from.
Emma's really great about letting you guys know when she goes live anyways. So follow her on Twitter or Instagram. That's the best route to find out very when true. She goes live. David Webb, what's your schedule, brother?
Probably be back tomorrow. Thursday with some Apex.
We're going to get you that dub, man.
Let's do it.
We played a little on PC today. It was, you know, we were hot dropping just to shake the rust off.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to dig too deep, but we'll get that dub.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of the one of the kills I got, though.
Oh, yeah. You saved the day.
Yeah.
I got downed, and David Webb comes over the mountaintop.
Pop the smoke.
Pops the smoke, puts a guy down, and gets me back up. So it's an ultimate game of teamwork and shot calling. Like, it's really hard to play when you don't queue up with people these days, because it's wild. Curtis, you streaming tonight? What are you up to?
I might be streaming tonight. I likely will be streaming tonight, just for a bit tonight, and then tomorrow morning I'll be back at it with some actually productive streams, like doing some different editing
and
a little bit of stuff. Well, actually, hold on, wait, not that much editing. Some editing, but mostly a little bit of music production.
All right.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you call it music, it's audio. Might get weird, everybody, but come join me.
Hey, there's an audience for weird, brother.
Yeah, there is.
You can follow them on their social medias too, at Skip and Tosh. He also does go live notifications. David is the
real David Webb.
You gotta consolidate, because I never know what's Webslinger 1 and what's real David Webb.
Webslinger 1 Twitch, Twitter real David Webb, Instagram the real David Webb, but there's very little streaming on Instagram. It's more photography.
Gotcha. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. For Curtis, the real David Webb, Emma Skies, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.